Hello and welcome to the Tech Gaming Podcast, episode 9-6. I'm your host, Robert Desert Eagle Allen. With me, as always, is the machina from South Pasadena, Sean Nola Kirkland.
Like the Rose Bowl. I don't know a good Pasadena machine catchphrase.
You know, I used to think Pasadena was kind of a boring little town. Mm-hmm. But I started reading up on it, and you know the big Parsons building is probably pretty close to you.
Yeah.
The big one of the biggest buildings.
On my block.
Well, John Parsons, he was one of the founders, of course, of JPL, but he also was the inspiration for Tony Stark's dad in Iron Man.
Huh. I always thought that was supposed to be Howard Hughes.
No. Look it up. John Parsons.
Oh, I don't doubt you. That was my assumption.
And the weird thing was, what was Tony Stark's dad's name?
Howard Stark.
Howard Stark. He was a little nuttier than Howard because he dabbled with the occult along with L. Ron Hubbard. So some straight up Illuminati shit.
And Pasadena Scientology headquarters is maybe two blocks away.
Yeah, I bet there's something going on there. So. Mm-hmm. More conspiracies to come. So probably more than likely join us in a few minutes is Sage Samurage Morris Green.
Rock dog!
Insert Sage line here.
Oh, you guys and your vagina jokes.
Somebody said that we were turning into Destructoid, and that kind of made me bummed.
Yeah.
I don't want to just do this one straight now.
Yeah. Wow. They really know how to hurt us, don't they? Mm-hmm. So, well, let's do it straight. Let's get right into it. Talk about.
Oh, and also missing in action is Blue Swim. We have no idea where he is.
Yes. He was going to reveal his last name tonight on the show, speaking of conspiracies.
And his first name, since I'm sure it's Aaron or Eric. One of the two.
Anyway, let me talk about what I've been playing. First up, Rocket Knight, which I scored right now is on PS Plus for PS Plus subscribers for $7.49. And I didn't review that. If I remember correctly, Tiger covered that one. And
yeah.
I kind of remember he didn't love it, but he did like it. And what that is Climax's attempt at revitalizing the old Konami SNES and Genesis franchise. And one thing is, I think it's a solid game. If you can look beyond it only gives you 12 levels, 12 different stages there, so you can blow through it pretty quickly.
Original one was pretty short, too.
Was it? In hindsight.
I remember being pretty short.
I could have sworn it had more than 12 stages.
I don't know about that, but I'm not sure. So
we've got to look that up. We need someone to look that up on Wikipedia for us. Anyway.
It's going to turn out to have exactly 12 stages.
Yes, and someone will let me know. Anyway, the different levels, they have horizontally scrolling, stages. And then there's the platform, and I'm a little surprised on how enjoyable both of those are. On normal mode, the game itself, and I think Tide Gear also said this, was pretty easy, although there are a few spikes in there. Because one of the things is Sparkster, the main character, he's a possum, starts the game off with this full arsenal. The thing he can do is he can hang by his tail, he can use a jetpack to kind of rocket around, he can spin with it. When he rockets around, he does it, sword first. He's got a melee and ranged attack, so he's, kick-ass little possum there. But what makes the game interesting, and for me, I went back and replayed some of the levels, was this combo system that increases every time you collect or every enemy you defeat. And so it kind of encourages a little bit of speedy, reckless play. And I know it's not the first game to do this, but, it does offer enough hook to lend the game that kind of replayability to go back to the levels and try to boost your score a little bit, to run up that multiplier ever so slightly. So I'm enjoying it. Kind of cool. If you have PS Plus, worth $7.50. Probably wasn't quite worth the $15 that it once went for.
Yeah. It's funny, though, because I saw that up there when I was downloading all the free stuff, and it's hard to be like, oh, I got Back to the Future for free, and I got whatever the other free thing was. Oh, all three siphon filters.
Yeah.
Now I'm going to spend $7 on something else.
I look at it a little bit differently. I'm like, oh, Sony, they give me a couple of free things, and I probably fall into that marketing scheme that they think. But why don't, instead of, now that I saved all that money, why don't I buy a game? You know.
See, I already gave them $50 for the privilege of getting those free games. So
you're a smarter man than me. I'm a sucker for it. Speaking of smart, there's NFL Blitz I've been playing this week. I only played about two games. That. What's that? You want to play that?
I play that so bad, yeah.
I have it on PS3, so let's hook it up. Let's play some online. Yes. I played about two games, and so far I can say that they didn't ruin it. Was it Tim Kitzrow? Is he the announcer for the old NBA Jam NFL Blitz?
You know what? Sure. it wasn't Dick Vitale.
It does no baby. Anyway, he's back in the booth, and so the one thing is, it took me until the second quarter of my first game to really get a good zinger to really make me laugh, and I was a little surprised by that. Maybe they spare it down a little so he's not talking, you know, your head off during the game. I know some of our readers are worried that they just reskin Madden, the Madden engine. They don't need to worry. EA, what the hell was that? It comes Darth Vader. Darth Vader enters the room.
I was trying to very slyly add save so that it wouldn't interrupt your story, but then she ran an airplane into her computer.
What? No, I did not.
Anyway, hi, Sage. How are you?
Hi.
Rocking the Hawk.
I'm good.
How was, in the middle of my story, how was yoga and the spa and all those girly things?
It was the most magnificent day for me that I've had in like a year.
And then and then you had all that stress relief of yoga and spa, and then we added stress by saying, you have to be here half an hour ago.
Yeah, well, whatever. That's life.
Yeah. I need to hurry up and relax.
Relax faster, damn it. anyway, Diego, your story.
Yeah, so back to, I don't know where I was talking about, NFL Blitz. They really captured the fast kind of kinetic feel, the old coin-op console also. I mean, everything is there. There's the 30-yard first down. There's the plays that happen so damn quickly, you'll say, you know, what the fuck just happened? you know, with the blitzes. There's the over-the-top animations, the wild touchdown dances. They pretty much nailed it. The one thing I noticed so far is that they didn't, for better or for worse, they didn't screw with the game as far as balancing the game. I always thought that passing was the way to go. It was like, do you want a 7-yard run or a 45-yard pass? So blitz, you could either, you know, you could throw your opponent off with the occasional, you know, like handoff or quarterback run, but really all the big plays are passes for 40, 50, 60 yards. And I don't know, considering how satisfying running is these days in the NCAA Madden games, I really would have liked to seen the ground game give it a little bit more appreciation. But I don't know. Still, it's an early impression of the game, and I'll have my review up soon. And maybe if I master the juke button, I don't know, maybe running will come alive. So
I would like to see them add Arena Football Teams as DLC.
Okay.
That would be cool.
How much would you pay for that privilege?
I would want it to be just one pack with all of them. And I would say I would pay upwards of $5 if they got the entire league in there.
Upwards of $5. Wow. Yeah.
Yeah.
Big spender.
But no, I would love to play as the voodoo.
You know what really I cool. want, and you probably saw this in my pick of the week, was I really want Mutant League Football. With all the crazy stuff, with the land.
That would be awesome.
And the Mutant League Football and the hockey, I love those games. Those were
I don't understand, because EA owns those licenses, I'm pretty sure. So I really don't understand why they haven't revisited that.
They don't have to pay the NHL or NFL a dime for that. You know, it's just generic, no players. So, I don't know. Get on it, EA. Last thing, I've been spending some time, or next to last thing, with Venetica, or somebody pronounced it Venetia, which I got a kick out of. So that was my surprise holiday find this Christmas. Currently it's $10 at GameStop for both the 360 and the PS3 version. And it's one of those open world, slightly janky Euro RPGs that you can't help but like, especially, you know, at a reduced price. I know Atari hasn't had the best lineup lately, and this is, you know, published by Atari, and it, you know, it's kind of an overlooked gem here. So in the game, you play as Death's daughter this time. So last time you were his son in, what was that called? Death Jr. I guess Death is...
It's connected to Death Jr.?
No, not at all. I'm just saying that Death has a daughter and a son.
Mm-hmm.
But no, it's not comical. So you're this girl, her name is Scarlett, and she has this low-cut Victorian blouse, flowing dark hair, really athletic. And she kind of looks like Laura Croft, and she might even be a little sexier. So that's
wow.
The hook there. Yeah. Anyway, combat, you have four different types of weapons. It's pretty simple. It's fun. You have different, you know, kind of tech trees. And given the game's open-ended nature, it hasn't become stale. I've put about 10 hours in so far. I know a lot of people, they wouldn't be able to look past, like, the dodgy frame rate and the occasional glitches to see the game's charm. I think of it as like, the equivalent of high school Shakespeare. At times, you're so distracted from the storyline, just from the sheer, you know, amateur nature of it all. But then there are moments where you see this underdog game shine, and, you know, it warrants its price of admission. So go out there, support Atari with the game. I think it's kind of cool. Last thing I want to talk about was this week's release of TNT. I always want to call it TNA. TNA Racers. And I think maybe TNA Racers would be a little bit more interesting game. It's
so
this
like
little...
cars with boobs on them?
Yeah, cars with boobs.
I feel like we've had this conversation before about cars with boobs, yeah. Unfortunately.
Yeah. Hey, didn't we have this conversation about doing this one straight?
I wasn't there for that.
she pleads fifth. So anyway, it's this little racing game put out by Keen Games. It came out last year on XBLA, and it got ported to the PS3. We got two codes to give away. So to win one, simply list a game on Keen's resume, followed by the number of tracks that are in TNT Racers. Not TNA Racers. You know, put that in the comment section to win a code.
Or the number of tracks in BMX XXX.
Now that did have boobs and bikes.
Yeah. See, I'm piecing stuff
together.
Was
that as bad as everyone said it was?
I'm sure it was. BMX XXX was like a Tony Hawk style BMX game.
Mm-hmm.
But its big hook was that if you played it long enough, there was an unlockable character that was a topless schoolgirl. Like she had a skirt on.
There was also stripper videos.
Was there?
Yeah.
All I heard is, like, that was the big hook, was those characters, the topless characters, and you had to play a really long time to unlock them.
Now, even though we're doing it straight this week, I shouldn't even say it. One of the things that kind of made me sad.
It's not going to happen, is it?
The Saboteur was one of my favorite games from a few years ago, and they're still selling copies. One of the things, when you buy it new, you get a code, and it allows for a little bit of authenticity. So when you go to the French, when you go to the Moulin Rouge, and there's the showgirls there, the code would allow you to remove their tops. And since then, the code has been expired. The code expired, and so you don't get to see that unless you pay now. So I'm a little sad about that. Yeah, a lot of codes are expiring these days.
I heard about that.
Mass Effect expired on the 1st, and not so keen on the expiration. But, Sean, play The Saboteur. That was one of my favorite games.
Yeah, I heard mixed things about it, but it was interesting when it came out. It's got to be cheap now.
Oh, it's like $10 everywhere. But I really liked it. To me, I don't know why, when I was playing Saints Row the 3rd, I kept thinking, I want to go back and play Saboteur. It's a, you know, sandbox game that's kind of done right, a little bit more serious. Mm-hmm. So that's me, Saboteur. Got to pay for boobies. Do it. What about you, Sean?
I was in the Orange County all during Christmas with no video games. But
oh, my God. Not even Monster Hunter?
Not even. Well, I didn't bring my PSP because I found my DS.
Yay! Oh, where was it?
It was where I thought it was, but it was in a box, which I didn't look in.
Oh.
It was on that shelf where I said it was, and then said it wasn't, but then it was.
How did you really lose track of your portables, Sean?
Well, my DS, because it's been so long since anything came out for it that I cared about.
Solo
Turbo, but then by then I had already lost it.
Okay.
Yeah, but I found it, and Golden Sun was in there, and so I packed up Golden Sun and Fire Emblem and something else, because I have one of those little cartridge holder things, and I took it and I played Golden Sun for a really long time, and that is still a really good game, probably one of my favorite JRPGs of this generation, but it also, I was telling Deagle before the...
Portable?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Didn't know if you were throwing in consoles in there.
Well, I mean, what JRPGs have there been in this generation on consoles that are worth playing?
There's a lot. But...
Are there?
When did Lost Odyssey came out?
A long time ago, but that was this generation.
That was generation.
I think Blue Dragon.
I would be on
I would be on the fence for Final Fantasy 13.
I think Golden Sun's better than Final Fantasy 13.
Okay.
But anyway, I was telling Deagle before the show though, it kind of highlight one of the reasons I don't play JRPGs anymore is the conversations are also cyclical. Like you'll walk into a situation where they're giving you the, you know, a main story quest and it'll be like, you need to go to the cave and find this mask. What's the mask for? Well, you need the mask to unlock this door. This door? Yeah, that door you need a mask to open. Where's the mask? It's in this cave. This cave? Yeah, you need to go to that cave to get the mask. What do we need the mask for? And so you'll go through the area, the item you need to pick up and why you need to pick it up three or four times in the same conversation. Mm. You can't skip it. And like
at all?
At all. And I mean, it's like a common thing for JRPGs now because they don't want you to feel like you're going to get lost. You know, they want you to know where your next objective is. And rather than just making it so you press start and it tells you where to go, they just want you to want to hit it home in the dialogue and it just becomes kind of dumb.
I hate that.
But what really hit it home was, so we go to my girlfriend's family's house on Christmas and we do the Christmas there. And we pretty much stayed all through the holidays. And I brought my DS. And I was basically just playing whenever I got a chance. And I got about 6 hours into it. But I was just doing the DS clamshell thing where, you know, I play it for a couple minutes and I close it. And then I pick it up and I close it. And I pick it up and I close it. So I'm on my way to work yesterday. And I'm on the bus. And I get to this town. And the guy's doing his whole, oh, I'm going to show you the next objective. And he gets in this long conversation. I see in the corner of my eye a little red light blinking, telling me my battery's about to die. And I go, shit, I have not saved this game a single time.
Oh, no.
6 hours in. And so I'm doing the best I can to hurry through this conversation, and I just know that I'm going to lose it. But I managed to save it, and then, like, 5 minutes later, my DS died. But I was so, like, worried that I was going to lose all my progress, because then I would have thrown the game out and never looked at it again.
Yeah, if I could change one thing about the DS, I think it would be that the warning light comes on not soon enough. Yeah.
Well, it turns red with plenty of time, but you never notice just the change of colors. It's not until it starts blinking, and it only blinks like you have 5 minutes, like
right.
Get to where you need to be.
Like it would be nice if they could throw a little pop up on screen.
Yeah,
what if it just started blinking sooner? Because I lost a bunch of game debt on Sola to Robo that way. Like, I didn't notice it. And same thing. I was, like, in the middle of talking. You can't skip that shit either. Maybe it's that. Maybe they should either make the conversations of games on the DS skippable or else give you, like, more blinking time to know that you need to plug it in.
Yeah. The PSP had a decent enough solution for that. I don't know if the later... The PSP 300 and or 3000 and stuff did this, but the PSP Go did this where at any time during any game, you can pause it from an operating system level where it basically just makes a save state. So if your system's about to die and you're not anywhere close to
hibernation mode. Yeah.
It's not just a hibernation mode. It's you make a save state that you can quit out of the game, go play another game or whatever you want to do. But it's great for when you're about to run out of battery, because hibernation mode, the battery will still die. And this, even if the battery does still die, when you boot it back up, that paused game will still be there. So even if you're in the middle of a conversation, you just, you know, go to your cross media bar, save the game, and then turn your system off and you're fine.
The 3000 does not do that.
Yeah, I think it might just be the PlayStation, the PSP Go.
Yep.
The most underrated little system there ever was.
Sean, Radiant Historia. I want you to play that for DS.
Radiant Historia.
I've heard of that. I hear it's like an amazing, amazing game.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. All right, really good role-playing game, DS.
Mm-hmm.
I will check it out. Let me look it up, because that sounds really familiar.
Atlas put it out maybe about a year ago. I reviewed it. You didn't read my reviews. That's okay. My heart will go on.
You put on like 30 reviews a day, man. Who can read that much?
I do remember this game, and I do remember seeing your review.
Okay.
And I do remember. So I don't remember anything about it.
Let me take the knife out of my heart, then.
But what was I going to say? Oh, that was pretty much the only game I played. I did buy Dragon Age 2 because it was only $10, but I haven't gotten a chance to break the seal on it yet.
Don't expect much.
Oh, look, it says I shared this. Not only did I read it, I shared it somehow.
Okay.
So there.
Well, you just like proving me wrong. Sage.
Hi.
What have you been playing? Hello.
Everything.
Everything. What does everything entail?
Well, as some of you may or may not
Galactic
know.
Galactic Trucker?
No.
Oh, okay.
Yes. Actually, I did play some of that. The Humble Bundle for I basically in the last 2.5 weeks have downloaded more games than I have played because I have downloaded so many games I haven't had time to play, like even half of them. I think I've gotten to a third of them mm-hmm. or a fourth of them. So I got the Humble Bundle 4, which came with like 7 games, and then it gave you the Humble Bundle 3 for free. So I got like another 6 games. And yeah. Steam had all of their like 90% off sales where games were like $2. So I downloaded like.
Do you use Windows, Sage?
I do.
Did you pay more than a penny?
I did. That was really sad. I brought those statistics up. I thought that was bullshit.
Yeah, I just.
I did. I paid like $8.50 so that I could give like $2.50 to charity.
$8.50 for 7 games.
Yep. Hey man, I'm broke right now. Okay, that's all I can afford.
Pushing your
buttons. Sorry, someday when I'm rich, I will give like 2/3 of my money away. But right now, I'm not rich. So, but anyway, the games that I did get around to playing, one of the things I played was Killing Floor. Do you guys know that game?
Heard of it.
It's pretty good, actually. I really like it. It's the construction of the like server and the game mechanics work well together. Like you don't get a whole bunch of lag, which I've noticed a lot more games have had recently is that like lag that's left over from they made controls too complicated for like the server that they're on or something. So you're lagging like every 5 minutes. But Killing Floor doesn't have any of that, and it's a really decently difficult game. Like, I can't play it on my own because on, like, a normal difficulty level, and that might just be because I haven't played this, like, genre of game in a while. But you have so many – basically, you have rounds of zombies coming at you, and for Christmas, they were all, like, Christmas-themed. So you had, like, a big, fat Santa zombie and little elf zombies.
Wait, Sage?
Yeah?
Who's making all that noise?
I don't know.
Deagle.
Not me. Serious. I hear it.
I'm sitting here not touching anything. Maybe it's my cat.
It could be a cat.
Let me
Is your cat opening boxes?
No, but neither am I, so I don't know what you're hearing.
It's weird. Maybe it's a ghost opening packages.
Is it still happening?
Is it Christmas
it's
past?
It's not happening right now.
I don't know.
Maybe it's blue. Oh.
Maybe
I'm trying to get in on this.
The ghost of Blue is making noise.
Oh, he's dead now. We shouldn't make fun of him.
He is?
That's awful. You're awful, Sean.
That's terrible.
Shame on you. You've been demoted.
So I just said we shouldn't say anything mean about him.
You just said he was dead.
Yeah.
Well, we don't know where he is.
Willing a person's death. That's not a happy thing.
It's not like we don't do that all the time on video games, but you know.
They're not.
Anyway,
Killing Floor.
Killing Floor. You've got all these waves of zombies coming at you, and in between, this sexy black British woman.
Zombies are still work for you?
What?
Zombies still work for you? Killing zombies? Killing zombies. That hasn't gotten old for you yet.
No, dude, okay. They're zombies.
Okay.
Anybody who gets tired of killing zombies is dead inside.
I'm Sean. Dead inside.
Yeah. I'm getting close. Blue,
anyway,
I'm joining you. It's the big one.
The Black British Lady gives you weapons. So you make money by killing zombies, and then in between each round, and you can set how many waves you want and how long you want them to last. In between the waves, you go to her. You have to find her shop. And then you have to buy weapons before time runs out. So there is a little bit of strategy involved because if you play it safe and hole up and kill zombies like in a room somewhere on like these big maps that have all these different buildings and stuff. If you hole up and kill zombies like in one room, you have to wait and kill that last zombie as you have made your way closer to where her shop will show up. Cause you only have like a minute to a minute and a half to get to like where she's going to be and buy shit from her. So a tiny bit of strategy involved. And then other than that, it's just good old zombie killing with a plethora of weapons, which are pretty amusing. We've got everything from like AKs to grenade launchers. And, it's good. The difficulty level is really pretty hard. Like I said, I don't think I could play it on my own, but even with two people, it's like, I mean, you definitely have to stay aware and on your toes.
So I'm getting a little bit of a Left 4 Dead vibe.
It's better. Left 4 Dead, I don't think is that hard. Like, no. Left 4 Dead is easy if you're playing intelligently until all of a sudden, like, the AI director decides to fuck you and mm-hmm. overwhelms you with zombies.
Yep.
Killing Floor is just consistently difficult. Like, you get sort of harder and harder zombies per wave, and at the end of all the waves, you get, like, a giant boss zombie who shows up, does a lot of damage, disappears, raises other little zombies, which you then have to kill. And you always have to be, like, watching your six because he might show up and deal damage behind you. And he, I mean, the, like, boss zombie's pretty rough. Like, he'll, I don't know, if you got hit by him, like, three or four times and you didn't heal, you'd be dead. So the difficulty level is more consistent than Left 4 Dead, and it's more challenging throughout. So I like that about it a lot because I don't play a lot of games where I actually feel like, oh, shit, this is kind of hard.
Cool.
So I recommend it. It's cool. I got it for free, and I know they were giving it away for free if you did Steam's. They did a thing throughout the Christmas break where you, if you completed certain achievements, you'd get a random game for free, and that was one of the ones they were giving away for free, which I think is really cool because we always complain, and I know we get a lot of comments about how a lot of video game companies seem to ignore the fact that finals is a really busy time, and then Christmas break is open, and like the last 2 weeks there's been sort of shit all for, you know, game releases. And I think that Steam has finally paid attention to that because they were, you know, having mm-hmm. all these like cheap huntings for free games and, you know, trading games and all these special deals. I think that's really smart of them and, you know, considerate to gamers.
That is cool.
To do that during Christmas break, yeah.
Did you download the Steampunk character pack?
I did not. I don't. DLC like that has to be like, I don't think I've ever spent money on any kind of like skin or like steampunk character, or because I don't want it badly enough to pay the extra money for it.
Yep.
Because I don't think it's worth it generally.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't change the gameplay. I'd be all about a skin that, like, I actually bought the Robin and the Nightwing for Arkham City because those had their own like moves and styles, and but this kind of shit is always like, well, you look different, and that's how shallow do you have to be to spend money on looking different, right?
How shallow, Sean?
Shallow.
I guess we are dead inside.
I didn't have a good snappy comeback for that. I'm sorry.
We're dead and superficial.
As shallow as a Nola puddle. How about that?
No lie, I used to make custom skins for Quake 3. I made a pretty awesome Vash Stampede one at one point.
But that's different. You made that. That's,
I know.
I mean,
that kind of makes it hard for me to buy skins. I want people to give me tools to make my own shit.
Right.
I say that, and then I hated Mod Nation Racers and Little Big Planet, so we can't really talk there either.
Really? You didn't like Little Big Planet?
I got really old really quick.
Were you playing it
by yourself or with other people?
I played it with my brother a couple times, and I will admit that was kind of fun. But
because I think that's what it's good for. Like, I wouldn't play that game on my own, but I played it with a couple of friends, and like that was super entertaining.
Meh.
I just love to jump into the construction set and play around with it.
That's what my girlfriend's cousins, they're 11 and 13, I think. And that's what they do.
Thanks for comparing me to the prepubescent crowd.
Man, you know what, though? They came over on Christmas, and they were telling me about all the games they got because they know that I do this. And they're like, yeah, I got this game and that game and this game and that game. And so basically they got about $400 worth of games.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
I got nothing. I got $75 worth of Subway coupons.
Really?
Yes. You're going Jared
That's
on
That's depressing.
Us.
Why did you get that much Subway couponage?
Their dad works on, he does Subway. The marketing for Subway. They just, they're new clients of his.
So basically pennies
on the dollar. Everybody got Subway gift cards, and they all gave them to me. So I have $75 worth of Subway gift cards now.
Guess I know where we're going to lunch.
Mm-hmm.
That's really weird. You should trade them to someone for something meaningful.
Hell no.
I could crack cocaine.
Monster Hunter crack.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. I get free lunch now for a month.
I guess that's true. I don't really like Subway that much. I wouldn't want to eat there for a month.
You know what? It's free.
Yeah, so is garbage, and I don't eat that either. So.
All right, moving on. No. Anything else?
Anyway, yeah. Moving on. So everything else I played was indie games. I played some Bastion. I'm not going to talk about that because I've talked about it before. Bit Trip Runner. I don't know if anyone is familiar with the Bit Trip series, but, you know, really, what?
We made fun of each other last time.
Yes, I know, but I don't know if everyone listens to us every time, and I feel like short introduction is usually good. But fine, you know what? Fine. All of you listeners, if you don't know what BitTrip is, thanks to my co-hosts, fuck you, go look it up yourself. I'm not going to tell you about it. Anyway, BitTrip Runner is good. It's decently challenging. I like it. It's actually kind of too challenging for me because anytime you have to like hit the space bar like 15 times in a row, I usually fuck it up because I try to do it to the rhythm of the music. And unlike frequency, the rhythm of the music follows your keys, not the other way around. So I would like try and match what I thought the rhythm of the music was going to be, which totally would fuck me up. So you just have to play it by like ignoring the music and just playing.
Have you tried playing it on a controller?
I have not.
Okay. Just wonder if
you think it's easier that way?
I don't know. Just for me, I have a slightly easier time using a controller than a keyboard. Just wondered. Hmm.
I'll have to check it out. I do have a plug-in PlayStation controller for my computer, so I'll have to try that and see how it does.
Yep.
But it's cool, and I feel like it'd be one of those things where if you ever ended up at a party full of either like stoners or people like on acid and you didn't know what to do to amuse them, you could totally start playing Bit Trip Runner and they would get a kick out of it.
Or we could all eat garbage.
Flour.
What?
Yeah, flour. I said, or we could all eat garbage.
Or we could all eat garbage.
We'd call Sean to get his Subway coupons.
You know what?
Oh, hey, man. I'm really high right now, and I need some Subway.
Anyway.
And bacon and spinach sandwich this morning.
Ew, what?
And it was free.
Ugh, gross. Okay, anyway. And then I played Night Sky. Have you guys played that?
No.
Night Sky is cool. When I first saw the name of it, I thought it was like a wallpaper. I mean, a screensaver. I didn't think it was an actual game. And then I checked it out, and it's really nice, actually. It's kind of like Limbo in that there's like this music and really simplistic design graphically that evokes a definite like feeling towards it, which I really like. I appreciate a game that's simple but still like provocative. So, I mean, it's not like deeply provocative, but it's like a game that you sit down to play and you're like, this is going to be this simple whatever thing. And then you really get into it and you're like, oh, this is cool. I like this because the music and the, you know, silhouette design, 2D design is like really pretty. And all of the backgrounds are like, most of them are like beautiful sunsets because it's called Night Sky. And you are a little ball, and the controls are really simple. It's just left, right, and then you can hit a button that's like the brakes of your ball, and you can hit a button that'll make you go faster. And it's just a simple, like, puzzle platformer, kind of like World of Goo or, like, Limbo, but less involved puzzle-wise than Limbo.
Speaking of puzzles, have you guys played Where's My Water?
No.
Dude, Where's My Water is so fucking addictive.
Is it like Puddle?
It's a Disney Android app. And you control the flow of water initially by kind of digging through the ground, but there's all kinds of devices. There's pipes. There's mechanisms that launch the water in the air, all kinds of stuff.
So this is why you get to go to Disneyland tomorrow, is because you're shilling for this Disney game.
You got to try it, Sean. You'll be hooked. Where's My Water? Available now at the App Store.
And then, so I got two more things. I played Earth Defense Force for the PC, which there should be a review by me coming out on the site in the next couple of days. because I reviewed it, so I'm not going to say too much about it, except that it definitely impressed me more than I thought it would. When Deagle told me I had to review it, I was like, oh, groan, what a shit game that I have to review.
Really? That's what you thought, huh?
That's what I, well, because at E3 I was so not impressed by it. I thought it looked so boring and tedious. But actually,
I thought somebody, I really thought somebody farted near the booth, because you guys just were out of there. You're like, oh my god.
I thought it was not enjoyable. But anyway, all of my doubts about it at E3 aside, like having now played it, I think it's enjoyable. Like, I don't, I wouldn't spend $40 on it, but right now it's $15 on Steam. Mm-hmm. And I'd say if you really want to kill bugs, or you have three friends and you want to try a new game for $15, it's worth checking out. Like, it's decent enough.
Also, while you guys were dicking around with that, I had to go talk to the guy about, White Knight Chronicles. So. And you did fart in the booth.
But it wasn't a Subway fart.
Because that would have been a healthy heart.
No, it was a...
Damn it, we said we were going to do this week.
See, you guys just can't help yourselves. It's my fault. I brought up boob cars.
Yes, at least we're avoiding the genitalia this week.
That's sort of true. We're at boobs. If it gets any lower, then we're going to be there.
Belly buttons.
Anyway, the last game that I played was Plumber on the Android phone. It's basically the hacking system from BioShock 1, but a little more complex, and you can't, like, trade pieces out. All you can do is switch pieces where they stand, so you've got straight pieces and curved pieces, and you can rotate what way they're facing, but that's it. So it's actually a little more challenging, and I kind of like it as a, like, I've got 10 minutes to kill kind of game. But more than, I mean, like, Angry Birds I think is really stupid, but, like, Plumber is cool because you actually have to use your brain a bit. Mm-hmm. So in order of desirability, I'd say Night Sky is up there at the top, followed by Killing Floor, followed by the rest of it.
All underneath Where's My Water.
All underneath Where's My Water. And Puddle. I really want to play Puddle. I need to buy it. I
played Puddle at that Konami event.
At E3?
Well, pre-E3. It was the fancy schmancy event at Sony Studios.
Oh, right. Okay, yeah,
that was not a bad game. I would say all the games that I played at that event, that was...
Wasn't it just Fluidity?
Oh, wait, that's what I played.
No, Fluidity, you know, I'm pretty sure you played Puddle. Fluidity was the game, the WiiWare game that came out. Because it's WiiWare, nobody really paid attention to it, but now it's free for the next couple of days on Club Nintendo.
What's cool about Puddle is there's a lot of different environments, so it's not always just, like, water. Like, there's one where you have to get... They drink, it's a dude who drinks something, and it's all an x-ray.
Oh, okay.
So you have to guide it through his entire digestive system.
Is it like Loco Roco with fluid?
Wasn't Loco Roco, you're like one big thing?
But you can break up into little things, too.
Okay, then yes, it's very similar to that.
Okay.
Yeah.
But I'm down with that, then. Simple physics games. I mean, to me, it's a lot like World of Goo, but instead of like viscousy goo stickiness, it's just water.
Oh, but there is viscosity goo sticking.
Well, yeah, there are, but that's nice too.
Viscosity.
Viscosity. There is a nice viscosity amount.
And that's kind of the cool thing about it is, depending on what your level is, the liquid can be different things, and they can use that. You know, like there are some levels where you're a liquid with a very low boiling point, so you know, going over fire will turn you into steam. And there were some cool things that I saw at E3, but.
I don't know how much it is. I would not pay more than $10 or $12 for it, but if it's
I want to say it's like $10. But also, I would. It was more fun to play. I felt on the move than with the controller.
Oh, you thought? I liked it with the controller. I don't like the move though. I like the move.
Well.
Move.
I don't like it. Move it. Move over. Move.
That's gonna.
Anyway,
Microsoft's gonna steal that line. Move over, move. It's time for some Kinect.
Oh, that's one of the things. So apparently, Apple has this been announced? I think it's been. I might have to cut this part out, depending. But apparently, Apple has a TV coming out soon that has Siri built into it. So that whole Kinect voice thing is about to hit the crapper.
I did that for about 5 minutes, and it couldn't understand me.
Siri or
no the Bing plus Kinect combo.
Yeah.
No, Siri is pretty accurate.
Yeah, but I mean, like, the idea that you could just walk into your living room and be like, Siri, what's the weather? You know, instead of with the Xbox, you have to have your Xbox on.
I think I mentioned the problem with that, though, is once you find the information it gives you, sometimes it will give you 25 or 30 things, and it's much easier to manipulate and move to those different things with the controller. It's like, yeah, it's easy to, instead of typing, to actually speak it, but once it produces an array of different shows, you know, I don't know, like some kind of television show, actually choosing it is a lot easier.
I just still love the commercial. Maybe I can't decide what to watch. I have all these options. Oh, good. Now I can talk to my TV. That makes it so much easier.
Well, you know what I think is interesting is that stuff has been around for a really long time. Like, there have always been radios that you could talk to and ask the weather or, like, to look something up. I don't know. I always looked on, like, ThinkGeek and places like that and would find these, like, really cool, like, one is, like, a thing that you can – it's, like, goes by your front door and you can, like, leave messages for your family members, which I thought was really cool. But, like – I don't know. Those things never really take off, and I don't know if it's because somewhere deep down people don't want to talk to their electronics, or it's just like too futuristic and nobody gets into it, or what.
It's just like touch screens, right? Like, so touch screens and even multi-touch screens were around for a lot longer than they became ubiquitous. It's just that until you do something with it that everybody finds to be invaluable. There's no point. Like my company invented multi-touch, right? But the only thing we used it for was maps. That's it. Like the idea of web browsing with it or navigating an operating system. I mean, we had basic operating system stuff, but when it came down to it is when you turn the map off, everybody grabbed the mouse and keyboard because it, whatever. Mm-hmm. And then it wasn't until, you know, Apple came out with the iPhone or the iPod Touch, that it made sense. You know, that right. Just because that technology exists doesn't mean it's a good idea yet.
Right. Well, the other problem is that then you have to have your TV on all the time, which I don't think everybody, I mean, some people do always have their TV on, but like, I wouldn't want to turn my TV on just to ask it, you know, a question. Like, I'd rather just pull my phone out.
I'd imagine it would have some sort of, sleep mode. Like, so you wouldn't turn it off.
Yeah, so it's maybe, listening
but
for
you
a certain
still
code
have
word.
To. Wouldn't you still have to activate it to turn it on, though? I mean, it's not just going to know. It won't turn on because you're talking to it, will it?
No, I would think that if you said Siri, it would.
But like, up. Why would you go to the trouble of doing that when you could pull your phone out and do that too, and your phone is already on? Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think it's the same reason the Wii, like when Wii came out with Wii Fitness and it had that whole like scale feature and you could weigh yourself and all that stuff. That was really cool, but like. I have to turn my entire Wii on to weigh myself, whereas I could just walk up to a bathroom scale and weigh myself, right. And I don't have to, like...
Do you guys ever worry we're going to have a generation of people that basically can't even feed themselves one day?
Yes, I watched WALL-E.
Aw, WALL-E.
I worry about that a lot.
Was that the point of WALL-E? I didn't see WALL-E.
What? WALL-E's a great movie.
It is a great movie. You should watch it.
Wow.
Oh my God, we should have a Skype movie watching thing where we all get on Skype and then watch WALL-E together and comment on WALL-E.
Yeah, because then you'll hear me cry.
Oh, Sean, I really want to hear you cry.
I threw up the first time I saw that movie, and I think I might have cried the second time I saw that movie.
Wait, did you say you threw up?
Yes.
Why?
I don't know. I just got middle of the movie, I went. No.
Could have been the five Subway sandwiches you ate right before.
I went and saw that. I actually went and saw that with my girlfriend's dad. And in the middle of the movie, I was like, oh, gotta go. Just hope I can keep this in my mouth before I get to the bathroom.
You need to make that a bumper sticker or something. WALL-E made me vomit.
I do love that movie, vomiting aside.
No, it is a great movie, and that's not, like, the point. It's sort of the point, but anyway, it's that all these people have been on this ship for so long that they're on these, like, chairs that move around for them. Like, they're all these huge, fat, gelatinous blobs of people because
that's
they
where
are
we're headed.
Fed.
Yep.
Right, no, I know. It's, like, terrifying. I mean, I thought that was actually...
They can video chat with people all the time, so they never actually have face-to-face conversations anymore, even if they're, like,
next to each other, yeah. It's really sad.
That's the way we'll podcast next week.
Yeah. That'll be weird. Oh,
Deagle and I are already that way. We live, you know, 20 miles away from each other and never see each other.
We're yeah, that's weird. Friends. If I lived by
I'm
your
afraid
guys,
he's going to throw up on me.
That is true. I will throw up on you.
If I live near projectile you guys, I would vomit. Show up to play video games all the time. I can't believe you guys don't hang out more.
We're the worst.
We do.
Totally. Just kidding. I wanted to tell you guys, because I thought you would appreciate this, given my background and given my name on this show. The one present my brother got me for Hanukkah was a tiny samurai sword letter opener to put on my desk when I'm a lawyer, so that people be all kinds of intimidated when they come in. So it's this like 9-inch long letter opener samurai sword.
I think I have the exact same one. I got it in Colorado Springs when I was in high school.
Really?
Yeah.
We can have a little mini duel next time I see you.
think back to college. I'm pretty sure it was on my desk. Can you remember what was on my desk?
In Sean, your house or when you were in the dorms?
In the dorms. Well, it probably would have been on my desk too there.
Did I ever even go into your room on campus?
Yes. There is video of it because we made a movie.
But I don't remember that. You have to show me that movie because I have no recollection. I mean, I remember that we talked about it and did it, but I don't remember doing it.
It's great. That's actually, if I can find it, that's actually good for the show. Our audience would enjoy that.
Yes.
Wait, what? No, you don't get to play it on the show. I get to see it first.
It's video game related.
Yeah, but that doesn't, I don't care. Maybe
listeners, do you want to see a video of Sage playing video games? Of course you do.
Well, one, what if I was fat back then? And two, because I might have been, I don't remember. And two, I thought the whole thing was that we had some level of anonymity because nobody knows what we look like.
Fine.
I'm just saying, if you want to show that video, then you guys have to show up on the podcast or whatever, because I should not be the only one that everybody knows what I look like.
Okay.
What Whoa. The?
I just heard a Wookiee call.
Anyway, we should
I think
move on.
That's
we
SD Chewbacca is here.
Was that yes. Otter?
That was Otter.
He does not sound like an otter.
But we should probably move on. Do we have an interview this week?
Yes, with Peter Meat. What's the name of Chewbacca?
Peter Meat.
Hey guys, Desert Eagle here with Jason Cooey, one third of the up-and-coming indie development studio Zanrai. Welcome to the Tech Gaming Podcast, sir.
Yeah, thanks, man.
Awesome. Now, before we start talking about Heaven Variant, I wanted to talk a little bit about the team. When and how did Zanrai form up? I can only picture a Voltron-style formation.
Yeah, that pretty much happened. I snapped my fingers and the team assembled.
Awesome. And you're the
really. What really happened was, I got out of school. I really didn't know what to do. Mm-hmm. And so I was just like, you know, why not? Now's the time. So I talked to a couple of buddies of mine, and we kind of started getting the ball rolling. And that's kind of, it really, that was kind of just how things started. It is really that simple.
Now, is your background in development and programming?
No, my background is not in programming. I messed around with things like, you know, Game Maker and stuff, like while I was like a kid, you know, in middle school and high school and stuff. And, you know, I had a little bit of a background in doing development, like on a very small scale, but you know, that kind of taught me a little bit about development. Most of my background was in graphic design. I submitted a remix to Overclocked Remix, like, so I had some music background. And you know, I really was more coming from like a graphic design aspect, and I did a little bit of traditional animation too, so like I kind of had your audio visual side of everything, but okay. Like that's where the rest of the team comes in. Like we have our programmer's name is Simon Inch. He is amazing at what he does. He's really good. Anything that like I need to get into the game, he makes it happen. And then the 3D modeler we have, his name is John Etheridge, and he just any models we need, he does that. So like anything that you know, we can all kind of take care of. So it's really, the team really works at this point.
Now, talking about visual design, before we get into gameplay, one of the things that immediately grabbed me was the logo, which seemed to recall the like sharp, extended letters of the Raiden logo. Was that coincidental or on purpose?
Yeah, you know, it's I am very it's a big compliment that you noticed the logo because I spent a lot of time on the damn thing, so I appreciate that fact. Yeah, the logo. Originally, if like on our website, like, we're still just starting out, but on our website, we originally had like kind of a more serious looking logo, and I didn't think it meshed well with the way, you know, we wanted to develop the game. So I really went to the drawing board and I focused on something that looked really arcadey, like from back in the day. And you know, we're kind of trying to hit that sweet spot between a modern game but with kind of old school, you know, appeal. You know, so that's a little bit of even where the logo's design came from.
Seems like you hit that. Now, the other thing that I noticed was the game soundtrack, which when the alpha build video starts, it starts with this little twinkling piano melody, and then you go into a little bit of throbbing trance, then it hits that kind of high-pitched, extended chiptune guitar solo wail, which is like fun incarnate. And then on the other one, you have this 80s kind of action feel, complete with retro synths in the second soundtrack video. Presumably, you guys are showing off a little bit. Can you talk about the musical direction for the game?
Yeah, really the direction we want to go towards is making sure we've got a very nostalgic, like, hey, I remember stuff that used to sound like that back in the day. Like, most of the game, again, is kind of going towards that direction. And the music especially, if we can hit that type of, like, audio presence, I think even if the, you know, in hell, if you put that music anywhere, it would remind you of, like, playing games back on, like, a Super Nintendo or something, right? Mm-hmm. So that's kind of, I want to really push the music, you know, to give you a trip down memory lane a little bit, mm-hmm. while still having a little bit of a modern take on it.
Cool. Now, it's time to get into the mechanics and see what Heaven Variant offers. Can you talk a little bit about some of the gameplay elements within the shmup?
Yeah. So we have a ship, mm-hmm. and it shoots stuff. but our
people kind of, too.
Yeah, there will be death. What you're doing in the game is you can pick up guns. Enemies will drop guns, and your ship has you can sacrifice your movement and aim in 360 degrees with this weapon. So what this does, it kind of combines your old shooters with kind of this modern twin stick shooter aesthetic. I definitely don't want us to become a twin stick shooter like Geometry Wars or anything, but it's kind of a blending of the two in a way. But you're always scrolling sideways, but you just have this you have the ability to sacrifice where you're moving to take out things that might show up behind you or anywhere in any direction. So it opens up a lot of cool gameplay possibilities, like being pursued from behind. We can shut off half the screen and force you to one side, make you shoot backwards. So it opens up a lot of cool possibilities. Not to mention just little background objects that are scrolling by that you can pick off to increase your multiplier and your score.
Mm-hmm. Now, my former co-host, Tidegear, and I, we used to argue about memorization-oriented shmups, games like R-Type, where you're encouraged to commit levels to memory versus the more... Yeah. Like improvisational titles, like the Raiden series, where you're dancing between these bullet curtains. What camp does Heaven Variant fall into?
I personally, mm-hmm. That's just me. I'm not a big fan of memorization, like in games, because I'm not good at it personally. Yeah. So like, Heaven Variant is not a bullet hell game. So you're not doing a lot of complicated, meticulous dodging, mm-hmm. and we have a much more focused direction with regard to gameplay, and we want the player to react dynamically to what's occurring in the game, but we want to focus less on dodging and more on blowing shit up. And right. I don't mean to be vulgar or anything, but we really want to emphasize destruction in our game. So like we have a pretty cool armor system that we We've got it working. We haven't showed it yet, but it's really cool. We can layer up armor just like they did back in the day, but we really want to make it a little over the top and add a lot of it. So that's one thing we're looking at.
Hmm. Now, speaking, you had mentioned briefly of Homage, and there's a few bits of dialogue, or there's a pretty good amount of dialogue in the game, which kind of recall for me Star Fox and maybe Zilfied, the Lost Planet. So can I presume that there's a story going on behind all the carnage, all the explosions?
Yeah. We want to make sure that the game has some type of running, I guess, context for why you are doing what's occurring. And that's not necessarily it's not necessarily that we're trying to be like an RPG or something or anything like that. But I firmly believe that if you have context for what you are, for the reason, if you have a reason for what you are doing, what you are doing becomes that much more compelling if it is done in a way that is decent. If you're fighting a group of people that want to accomplish something, you suddenly have a reason for doing it. And a lot of older games didn't necessarily do that. Mm-hmm. And I think that's one of the ways we're trying to separate ourselves from the pack. And we know the reason people are playing shooters is to blow stuff up. But, to add that in there, we think adds more emotion to the mix. Mm-hmm. And we think it'll be really cool, especially when you hear like enemies reacting to the stuff that you're doing.
Mm-hmm. Are you guys planning your own version of do a barrel roll? some kind of future internet meme in there?
Yeah, man, it's very possible. if we could make some type of internet meme that just, spreads across the internet like wildfire, I would be on top of that.
And Google picks really up fast on it one day.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Now, are you guys using a proprietary engine or some kind of off-the-shelf middleware?
We're using the Unreal Development Kit.
Oh, okay. Is that Unreal 3?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
I believe. It's, yeah. It's really a good engine. We mm-hmm. tried messing with a few other alternatives and stuff and starting something with, a few other things. But this, UDK is really good. Mm-hmm. You can just, anything you want to make, you just add it in and it's there. And our programmer, Simon, he just, anything we need, he just modifies it, makes it happen. So I'm really happy with it.
Very cool. Now, one thing I noticed in the alpha build is that there's currently no texturing on the ships and many of the structures. Is this a deliberate choice?
No. In the alpha, alpha quite literally was like a proof of concept to see if this thing was actually going to work. I was just about to put a video up probably the next day or so. I'm working on it currently that has some texture assets and like probably early parts of the game coming in, and it looks so much more polished from that alpha.
It wasn't that it wasn't polished. It just reminded me of that, I don't know, games when I played during the kind of Saturn era, that type of look. And I really like the simple, look of the game.
Yeah, man. We definitely want to hit that simple look because I think aesthetically that's kind of... We do want to hit that because older games kind of had that. Mm-hmm. We're not going for photorealism by any means. So we want to aim for kind of a stylized, animated look that doesn't necessarily push photorealism. So, yeah, like that kind of matte, simple look from the alpha, we do want to retain that while adding more detail to it so that it does have its own style. But we're not going for photorealism or anything like that.
One last thing for you, Jason. Is there a date that you guys are shooting for and perhaps potential platforms?
We're shooting for mid-2012. Mm-hmm. That could and probably will be in flux. We are all working on this as like a side project currently. Okay. We all have, we are very indie. I personally work out of my bedroom. So this is a small scale project. We are shooting for 2012, mid-2012. As far as platforms go, PC is our primary target. But from there, we could branch out to, if PC goes well, then other platforms are a possibility.
Okay. So you want to give a plug to the site and where people can check it out and learn more about Heaven Variant?
Yeah, you can check us out at heavenvariant.com, or you can come chat up with me. I'm always on Twitter. Mm-hmm. My username is Zenrai_. INT. Always happy to talk.
Awesome. Thank you so much for coming on the show, Jason.
All right, man. I appreciate it.
Best of luck to you.
Thanks, man.
It was Peter Molyneux, is that what you were saying?
No, the guy who played Chewbacca in the old Star Wars movies.
Oh, okay. Because if it was Peter Molyneux, I would have to get on and be like, dude, why are you so fucked up, man? You make the dumbest shit.
Wow. And that would be the last time we have Peter Molyneux on our show.
Probably. Yep.
And thank God for that.
He's an innovator. Sorry if it doesn't turn out quite the way you expect.
Yeah,
I really like Fable too.
An innovator of crap, maybe.
No, I
Peter
like
Molyneux is A, an innovator, B, something else, C, this is a desperate segue into trivia, or D, dear God, Deagle, please take over because I want you to do trivia so we can finish this up.
Correct answer was E, put it in. Trivia time.
Yay.
I thought with the new year we do something a little bit different and look over our 5-year history. As I've warned you guys this week.
I'm going to fail this then.
So, let's kick things off with number one. Last January saw the release of Mindjack, a near universally panned game which allowed players to jump into civilians, vehicles, and enemies. If you were able to head leap into developers' Feel Plus past experiences, we'd find the Tokyo-based studio had a hand in all the following titles except A, Blue Dragon Plus, B, No More Heroes, Heroes Paradise, C, Shadows of the Damned, or D, Moon Diver.
I'm gonna say Blue Dragon Plus.
Okay. Sage.
I said C. I said Shadows of the Damned.
You would be correct. Shadows of the Damned. Correct answer. Good job. Okay. Number two. 1 year ago, we also saw the digital release of a game called Spare Parts. That was the Simon Pegg voice game from EA. Before the Guildford-based developer was known as Brightlight, they were known by what other moniker? A, Bullfrog Productions, B, Avalanche Studios, C, Tida Software, or D, CDV Software Entertainment?
Oh, Lord.
Titus?
I'm going to say Bullfrog, even though I think that's absolutely wrong.
You're absolutely correct.
Is it?
Good job, yes. Bullfrog Productions.
I love Bullfrog. They did Syndicate.
Yeah, they did. Those Sim Hospital games, which weren't as cool. This month, it will have been 2 years since the release of Blood Bowl, where orcs, wood elves, humans, trolls, elves battled for supremacy. But the one who came out on the bottom was humans, the one who's actually bought the game. So what's next on developer Cyanide's agenda? A, Risen 2, B, Game of Thrones, The Game, C, Gothic 5, or D, Drakensang, River of Time 2?
I think it's Game of Thrones, The Game. It should be taking their namesake after that PSP port, though. That was
our one and only F, right?
So I think we've had another F, maybe. We definitely gave that one an F. And it was like, okay, do we really want to give this game an F? What's good about it?
Nothing.
Nothing. That game is not playable.
Is there a way to search on our site by letter grades, like search for all the Fs?
No.
We should make that like an archive thing. All the F games, all the A games.
I'll get on that tonight. Sage, your answer.
Game of Thrones, Thrones.
Okay, correct answer. Game of Thrones, The Game.
Yay.
Good job, guys. Now let's get into nostalgia. 2 years ago, Capcom's Dark Void showed up on our new release list and got a couple of the writers excited. Just who gave the jetpack-powered title the honor of Pick of the Week? Is it A, Tidegear and Desert Eagle, B, Sean Nola and Desert Eagle, C, Tidegear and Sean Nola, or D, all three writers?
I think it was you and me. I was excited because it looked like The Racketeer.
Sage,
who do you think? This is a biased fucking question. I didn't even know tech gaming existed then. How the fuck would I know?
You've been demoted now.
Whatever. You've demoted both of us so far that it doesn't matter. You're always on top. So
you guys will be sandwich artists from now on.
Yes. I'm going to go with all of you.
Correct answer.
I'm going to go with Tiger and Deagle.
Correct answer, Tiger and Sean Nola. I just want to rub it in. I dodged that bullet. But traveling back in time 3 years showed a different side of your lovable host, who didn't offer a pick nor a review of a certain NIS JRPG. So what game got the cold shoulder from Desert Eagle? Is it A, Artonlico 2, Melody of Metaphilica, B, Disgaea DS, C, Rhapsody, A Musical Adventure, or D, La Pucelle Tactics?
B.
You think Disgaea I dis- yes. Disgaea?
Oh, wait, is it which one? Which one? Yes or which one? No.
Which one? No.
Which one? No.
I'm gonna say C.
You gonna say Rhapsody?
Yeah.
And Sage, what was
your... I'm gonna say A, since you could barely pronounce the name of it.
Artonlico 2. That is the correct answer. Good job, Sage. Yeah, I was looking back and I was like, oh, there's an NIS game I didn't pick nor review. So eat that, all the people who say I do nothing.
Well, there was also the one you gave a C- to.
I could have sworn I gave it a D.
Something bad.
It was Witch's Tale. It was Witch's Tale.
Witch's Teat?
No, it wasn't that cool or cold. Oh. No, it was called Witch's Tale. Not T-A-I-L either.
Lame.
Oh, we were going straight this week. I'm sorry, Sean.
Yeah.
Sorry, my bad.
It's not going to happen. I'm sorry, Anonymous. I wish you would have given us your name so that I could tell you I'm sorry in person.
Is that the one that said we're becoming Destructoid?
Yeah.
Anonymous, the hacking group?
No.
Oh,
Anonymous is silly because we are not becoming Destructoid. He needs to listen harder. He, she.
Okay, so questions... We got some.
Wait, there's no trivia questions about Sean back when he was a fledgling tech gamer.
What was the first game I reviewed?
I know that one. Yeah. I know that one.
Yep. What was it?
Burn Zombie Burn, baby.
It was.
You know why? I just looked that up this week because I was reviewing the pseudo sequel, All Zombies Must Die.
Yeah. What was the first reason Deagle had to call me on a real life telephone?
Because you fucked up a review.
I like that answer. I'm going with it.
Yeah. I don't know. No, it's because I reviewed Valkyria Chronicles, and everybody loved it.
Oh.
Everybody.
Oh, that's right. Loved that's it. Right. That still gets a lot of hits.
Yep.
No. I thought it was the DLC content.
Yeah, it was the DLC content.
You might have a Wikipedia link to that.
What? That's awesome.
Let's make a Wikipedia about Sean, and it'll say Sandwich Master at Subway.
Sandwich Artist. With the 9-inch
No,
sword.
He's just a master of eating.
No, I was about to say, I'd be more like a sandwich curator.
A connoisseur, perhaps.
But anyway, so let's get to the mailbag.
Adam 40 asks, what was your best holiday deal this year? What was the best holiday deal this year?
Best Buy had something for $10 every day.
Or
Steam $5. Had something for $3 every day.
What was that thing?
What thing?
The thing for $3. I'm asking you.
On Steam?
Yeah. What was $3?
I mean, they had Dead Space and Dead Space 2 were each like $3. Portal was like $2.
Dead Space 2 was $3.
Wow, yeah, that was it was big amazing. Game. Skyrim was like 40 on one day, which is not as cheap, but it's cheaper than it usually is.
$40 for Skyrim is a deal.
Yeah,
I know. And they had, like I said, they had some packs that were like $70 for like what would have been normally $700 worth of gainage.
Yep.
Steam definitely wins in my book.
Yeah, there were a lot of $5 games at Best Buy.
Could you get the Fear 3 strategy guide for a penny?
I did not, but I also don't need it because I managed to play Fear 3 just fine without a strategy guide.
Yeah, do you really need? If you need a strategy guide for a first-person shooter, you're doing it wrong.
We had it. Really? It was only a penny. I almost bought it. But I was like, I don't
Then you realize that would be laughable. We would make fun of you.
That would have been my Christmas gift, huh?
No, I actually, no. I got you something much deglier than that.
Deglier? Oh my god, that needs to be an adjective from now on.
No, please, no. Okay, so some good deals there. Dragon Master Tim sent us a link, not actually a question. He asked us to comment on this, please, from Forbes, where a writer was talking. The title of the article was Sony in Big Trouble with the PS Vita. And the synopsis was, first week, the Vita did okay. Second week, the sales dropped off significantly. So comments, guys.
I mean, comments on the article or on the Vita's trouble? Like, which did he want us to comment on?
I think it's the Vita's trouble. The Forbes article didn't say anything particularly unique.
Profound, yeah.
First week,
320,000 units. Second week, 72,000.
Yeah. So that's a big drop-off. But, I mean, this goes back to what I keep saying before is that it's become an industry that sells events more than anything else. Mm-hmm. Launch days are events, and you can't do that with hardware. You can't. We were talking about it before the show. They need to have a bigger build up to hardware, and they need to keep that going, as opposed to a game where they have a build up right before it comes out, and they put TV ads on it, and then Tuesday comes and they say, "Hey, did you buy that? Good. All right, so buy the next thing." You can't do that with hardware. You absolutely cannot, and that's it. That's what I'm worried they're going to do here, is that we haven't seen any TV ads. We haven't seen any build-up since E3. Everybody's kind of not really forgotten about it, but everybody in the mainstream's forgotten about it. And, next month, it's coming out next month. It's coming out a month from next week. And I should be seeing bus ads and at least posters at GameStop saying,
order now.
But you're not seeing any of that. So that's,
And the funny thing was, is I think another reader commented on how the game industry hasn't really offered much positive spin on the Vita. And the funny thing was, going back to E3, Sean, you and I commented, when they announced the price, a lot of people expected this thing to be $500, $600 with all the tech that's thrown in there. And when they announced it was going to be $250 for the Wi-Fi model, you could just feel the energy in the room. People were cheering. People were excited. And to think back at that moment and where we are right now, a month and a week before release, what happened?
Yeah, they just waited too long. They needed to capitalize on that. Everybody thought this was going to kill the 3DS when they announced that price. And, I mean, I almost think they should have pulled a Sega Saturn and been like, it's available
in stores now.
But
people would have ran out of the place, though.
Yeah.
I wasn't around in the industry when the Sega Saturn.
I think whoever is their marketing and PR department really dropped the ball on it, because the other problem, in addition to the whole, like, a lot of people have forgotten about it because there hasn't been anything on it, they're releasing it, like, so soon after Christmas that because people haven't been thinking about it, maybe a lot of people have not saved up any money for it. Like, it's a really good price, but if you haven't, if you're, like, a college student or someone our age, and you haven't been saving money for it, you spent all your money on Christmas presents, like I know I did. Even if I wanted to get the Vita, I can't afford one right now at all.
Yeah, well, I mean, that was the earthquake. Like, they'll come out and say, it was originally supposed to come out in November, and the earthquake happened, and they had to make a decision whether or not to release in Japan or release nowhere, basically.
I understand that decision, but what I'm saying is that their marketing department should have kept the hype going, like, hey, it didn't launch right now, but it's coming, it's coming, it's coming, so that people had it in mind, so that they were, like, saving money and planning on it instead of letting it just sort of become this, like, so, oh, yeah, that's coming out. Guess
well, let's
I'll
take
it.
A peek.
Yeah.
Let's try to think of what Sony marketing was doing. Why are we not seeing the marketing? Why is the push absent?
They did the mall tour. I don't know if you saw that. They did they set up booths in malls where you could play the Vita starting in late November, but they did it. There were three booths, and they traveled to malls in Southern California, around Atlanta, and I think in New York.
Okay. Fairly inexpensive. I mean, they could do that,
They could have done that everywhere.
But they didn't do it. That's what Sean's saying. They didn't do it anywhere else, so it almost doesn't matter. Like, they only did it in those places.
And it was a very, low budget probably cost next to nothing to do, you know, to hire people for the day, move the units around, things like that.
Right. If I were them, what I would have done was I would have done an NES style launch. I would have launched the Vita in only major cities, and then it would have become this crazy, you know, shadow system. Oh my God, you hear so-and-so? Oh my God, I heard he had a Vita. Really? You had to go to New York to get that. Yeah, but, you know, he knows a guy. And that would have been cool. And then by the time they built it up to February, you know, then it would have been...
Then you'd have people waiting in line to get one.
Yeah, I've got to get one of these. But I think that would have been much better than release it in Japan and then have February built up with people hearing about how much Japan's not liking it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's
a good technique. I remember reading about a certain toy that came out around 9/11, and the marketing technique, I think they asked the kids in school, who is the coolest kid you know? And then they followed that kid and they say, who's the coolest kid you know? And they found the coolest kid in school, and they gave him 10 of these toys to give to only his coolest friends. And when these 10 kids went to school with this little game system that they could play in class, everybody wanted it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, right.
And it was a huge like marketing coup.
I thought you were going to talk about 9/11, that one album, the guy who did The Angels Deserve to Die, and they pulled it. And then it became like a huge best-selling album just because you couldn't hear the song on the radio anymore.
I don't even know. No, they were worried because it was about this, the theme was like this viral kind of takeover and battling bugs and stuff like that they pulled it. Mm-hmm. But everybody in the marketing world thought this was just a huge kind of genius notion.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna push. So enough of that. But definitely agree with that. We have another question. So I guess the big news is Vox, which considering Giant Bomb has to get for money, 1UP and EGM laid off, GamePro and EGM shut down, picked an interesting time to start a new site.
Yeah, they did. I didn't think about that, but yeah, given
like how they're going to pay for all those people making a good amount of, you know, probably a good salary.
Yeah.
Are they going to do that? And somebody else brought up the notion, are they going to unite and team together virtually, or are they relocating?
They are. They're going to do virtual. I know for a fact Justin McElroy won't move.
You talk to him?
He said before that's why he does what he does. You know, his wife brings home the bacon.
Yeah.
I guess we shouldn't laugh about that. That's not necessarily funny, people.
You laugh too.
Yeah, but I caught myself. I realized it was not actually funny, and I was being racist and terrible for laughing.
What does that have to do with race?
Sexist.
Okay.
I meant sexist.
Go. Okay.
she's a doctor.
Okay. Nothing wrong with that.
So she's not going to pick up and leave so that he can go write about video games somewhere else. That's what I'm getting at.
Yeah. No, I thought that was...
But, I mean, when stuff's on the internet, there's really no reason to need to be in the same place. Like, you guys being in the same place means you can go get lunch together, but it has literally no impact on us podcasting.
At Subway.
Yes. I do think it would be a better show if we were all together in the same room. You know, you got nonverbals that you could read... laugh together at the same stuff.
Yeah, but then there'd be a lot more moments. There'd be a lot more moments of like Sean pulling up pictures on Google search and us all pausing from what we're talking about to laugh for 5 minutes and our listeners being like, what the fuck?
Yeah, but I edit those parts out.
Oh.
Show would be a lot longer if I left all of Blues laughing in.
That's true.
So Tiger Claw wanted to know, and maybe we can get your thoughts, Sage. What do you think about Vox? Any predictions? Sean and I kind of left our predictions in there. I think it could go either way.
I liked what Sean had to say, which is that you... Well, no, I mean, because when I was reading that on the page, I agreed with him in my head anyway that, like, you don't... really know, and if you make a prediction, like, usually you end up being wrong, but more because it's tough to say how things are going to go because it all depends so much on, like, are they filling a niche that other people feel is lacking and that they want to see, or, you know, are they doing something that's the same that everyone else is doing? Do they have something interesting that, like, at least brings people for part of what they do because it's, you know, a cool thing? I mean, there's just too much. There's too many variables, I think, to make an accurate prediction about how that would go.
Yeah, all we know is right now is they have a super group, and we don't know what they're going to do with it. And I don't.
How many super groups survive the test of time, though?
I mean, Giant Bomb, they're the exception of the rule, but I mean, that worked really well for them.
Are they considered a supergroup?
They kind of are now. Okay. I mean, the idea was the same. That they
That was the other question. Oh, sorry. I'll get to it, Sean.
They got snubbed by GameSpot, and so they pulled together to make their own website. And they latched onto Whiskey Media, and then they made it a big thing. And that's pretty much what they're doing. They all got snubbed by their websites, and so they're pulling together to... I mean, Vox is a bigger company than just this game site. And so they're, you know, latching onto that and doing something. And, you know, if it works, it works. I got more of a problem with their open call for lady writers, because I think it is undermining the idea of getting lady writers. But that's another argument.
I'm a lady writer, but I am loyal to Tech Gaming. So.
Well, no, I'm just saying they did this thing today where they said, hey, we realize that all of our staff is male right now, so we want some lady writers. So, you know, give us suggestions for lady writers and we'll hire one of them.
They're not doing a call for articles. They're doing a call for popular vote.
Well, no. They just want suggestions for which women they should hire. And I think they should have just said, which writer should we hire? And if they wanted to pick a woman, that's fine. But I think the fact that they're saying, which one of these ladies would you guys like to hear from? That makes it that's kind of dooming whoever they hire to be that girl.
Inescapable that like from the beginning where it was like this novelty thing to have women to the like, you know, what's her face who does the blonde chick gamers website and the girl group, it's the all girl gamers or whatever, like it's now become a marketable thing to be like, yeah, hey, but, look, a chick.
I think it would have been, they're doing it under the auspice of being gender blind, but then, I didn't want to get into it, but I think it would have been a lot, they almost should have been insincere about it just so that we wouldn't get this whole, whoever they hire now, like I said, when they hire them, people are just going to look at them and be like, oh, that's that girl they had to hire to keep up appearances, instead of that's a good writer that happens to be a girl. I think it was a mistake. But no, I mean, that's going to be a small stumbling stone, and no one's going to remember that by the time they launch. But anyway, we got to wrap this up.
The last question was, have we ever beat another high-profile game reviewer at a game? And that's what made me think about that. Not saying much, but I beat one of the Giant Bomb guys at Wii Fit Plus. It was like this obstacle course. And the guy was a little heavy, so yeah.
Well, I feel like that doesn't really count then, Diego, because you were always going to win if he's a little heavy.
Sean beat me last week. He rubbed in my face at Marvel vs. Capcom 3.
Yeah,
that also doesn't count because I think they're talking about other companies. It doesn't count amongst our
staff. Well, that was the only time I've played someone.
But you know what we should do that might garner us some publicity? We should challenge another big group, like another well-known group, to a showdown in some particular game. Our people versus their people and see how they do.
Okay. So Silicon Era, I'm going to take you down, this guy at 4, suckers. You heard it here. Calling out names.
All right, seriously, we've got to wrap this up.
Okay, why? You have a fire to put out?
I do have a fire to put out. And if you'd like to read more about that fire, you can read about it at www.tech-gaming.com. And if you would like to read up to the minute updates about that fire, you can follow me on Twitter. My handle is at Sean Nola with two N's. You can hear Deagle's heartwarming epitaph at my funeral after I'm burnt to death. It's at tech_gaming. You can hear Sage pick out the flower arrangement for my coffin at Samgrage. And you can hear Blue not say anything because we have no idea what happened to him today. Where the hell are you, Blue?
If you're already cremated, why are you in a coffin?
Blue swim. Well, that's...
It's not cremated. He's just crispy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Way to open my coffin and check, douche. Now, crispy, look how embarrassing this is. Now everybody has to see my nasty, sticky corpse.
I want to put that DS, the DS Portable, in your hands.
Well, if you want to see him
great beyond,
you know how to do that.
It's going
to
be fully charged.
If you want to hear the podcast they record at my funeral, check out iTunes. That's what 9-7 will be. Remember, there are two RSS feeds. One of them is old and one of them is new. You're probably listening to this one on the new one. So,
why can't we get rid of this one?
We don't want to get rid of the old one because it's got all our old episodes on it. It's an
archive. Oh, I see. Okay, got it.
Don't ask so many questions.
Sage, sorry. Thank you for coming.
Thank you for having me.
Deagle.
Yes, sir.
Thank you for hosting.
You're welcome. Bye, guys.
Thank you.
Meatball?
Who?